Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Believers walk. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Are you there? Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. She says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Now, he now says in verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor circumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persecution cometh not of him that calleth." It says, "A little leaven living of the whole lump." It says, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whatsoever he be." Are we together? Now look at verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love," do what? "Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word." Are we together? All the law is fulfilled in one word. "Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Is "thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself" one word? Is it one word? So it means that when they say the law is fulfilled in one word, it's not talking of the way you see one word. Are we together? So what is it fulfilled in or as? It says what? "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Are we together? "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So we are to stand first in this, fast in this liberty from chapter 5, verse 1. He now says, this liberty you've been called unto, don't use liberty as an occasion for the flesh. Remember, I started teaching yesterday about the value, right? You know your worth when you see what was paid to get you. Hallelujah. God did not send 500 billion cows to die for you or shed their blood for you. Are we together? God came himself to give you his blood. What is his blood? His life. Are we together? Which is what? His spirit. Are we together? That's yesterday's teaching. Right? So God, when you ask what is your worth, you can say, the price on my head is the blood. The price on my head is the spirit. So when you believe the gospel, what happens? You've been bought. You've been purchased. Bible tells you, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You've eaten the good of the land. What is the good of the land? It is forgiveness of sins by his spirit. What is forgiveness of sins? It is the daily bread that the Father in heaven supplies. Are we together? Remember that? Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our what? So the Father in heaven, remember we said Father there doesn't mean a male species. Right? The Father, our Father doesn't mean that God is male. God is not male, neither is he female. Right? God is the originator. So the same way you can say our Father who art in heaven, you can say our Mother who art in heaven, if that will make you happy. Or our Father and our Mother who art in heaven. What does the Father in heaven gives? The Father in heaven gives what? Daily bread. What is daily bread? Jesus tells you in John 6, he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of heaven. I am the bread of God." So when Jesus in Matthew 26 now takes the bread and breaks it, what did he say? He said, "Take. This is my what? This is my body." What was he giving them? Bread. What was he showing? He was showing them that the same way I'm giving you bread is the same way I'll give myself as the bread of God for your sake. So how do you eat me? You eat me by believing me. Are we together? You eat me by believing my work in the resurrection. Now, yesterday, we paid attention to the fact that the blood of Jesus wasn't about the blood in your vein. You remember that yesterday? Right? Because just like the same way they flogged Jesus and blood splashed around, was the same way they flogged other criminals and blood splashed around. So when you say what gets you saved is the blood of Jesus, it's not that blood that splashed around though, because Leviticus 17, Moses will now tell you that the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So when you see blood, you think life. So what, now, what washed away your sins? Nothing but the blood. So what should you not think? You don't think of blood as what came out of his skin, but you think of blood as his life, which is his spirit, which is the life from the dead. Are we together? Because when his blood was splashed from his body, that wasn't what got you saved. What got you saved is the fact that he came back to life from the land of the dead. Right? He came back to the land of the living from the land of the dead. So when you now see him, now we said yesterday that when Jesus took the blood to the holy place, did you hear that yesterday? Where did Jesus, where is the holy place? The believer, our hearts. So don't think of Jesus after he now finished. How did he get the blood in the basin? I'm sure some of you were laughing when I was teaching yesterday. How did he get the blood in the basin? He now say, George, I'll be put inside basin. He now put the blood inside. He now walked. Outer court. He now walk. In our court. Middle court. Now enter. He say, Holy of Holies. I enter to the Holies of Holies. Say, God, here is my blood for their sake. You see, it doesn't make sense now, right? These are some things that you believe. You just need someone to analyze what you believe. You will see the gap in knowledge. Because how did the blood get to the basin? So we said that the blood of Jesus was into God. God did not need the blood. Because if God needed the blood, there's no difference between God and what? Ama, whatever you call him. Or a herbalist. God was never and has never been and will never be a blood-thirsty God. But God is a God who supplies his blood for man. Hallelujah. So when he now tells you that Jesus took the blood into the holies of holies, what is the holies of holies? What you call the temple? Who are we? We are the temple. So Jesus brings his blood in his hand, figuratively, Abby. So Jesus comes with the blood in his hand and he says, take it. What do? You believe it. What happened? He enters the holy place. So Jesus now dwells in you. You get that? So, Paul now tells you, stand fast in the... Okay. It's possible you begin to say, Jesus is in me, I'm free. Every song you sing is about freedom. Freedom, 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 everything, free. That freedom, Paul is saying, don't use that freedom as an opportunity to walk in the flesh. Don't say because your sins are forgiven, you walk in the flesh. But let love be the basis by which you serve one another. He now says, you can summarize all the law in this word. He says, thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. So it means that every instruction you find in scriptures will have to do with a fundamental, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we said also that when scripture says thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, it's not saying, look at how you love yourself. Then now, put that love on somebody else. No. Or behave how you want them to love you. No. Those are selfish loves. You see, let me tell you something. If God wanted to use the blood of Jesus to appease himself, are you here? If God wanted to use the blood of Jesus to appease himself, we can say God is a selfish God. Selah. Did you get what I just said? If the blood of Jesus was to God, so that God will now soften his heart. Some of us believe that God, God was just angry. We're just looking at all the whole earth, and he said, this whole earth, I created it with the blast of my nostril. It doesn't cost me anything to cancel everybody. If you like, bomb, 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 I'll cancel everybody. All of a sudden, some men were on earth were praying, God, have mercy, have mercy. Yes, our parents consist us in sin. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Then God now say, their prayer has come up to me as a sweet-smelling savour. And a fragrance. Or let's say it's their worship. You know, and God now, wow, I see some people praising me down there. What's happening there? God now say, Jesus. Jesus, that's my boy. Now come, knock him. Yes, daddy. No, now, but let me ask you a question. You know an average believer believes that Jesus is a small boy. Why now? Because we call him the Son of God. Are we together? Some of us believe that there is God that was on one throne, then there's Jesus on the smaller throne, on his stool. He can't be smaller throne, because there's only one throne. So our Father is on the throne, then Jesus is now on the stool. Then the Father, there's somebody is beside two of them and fanning them. Is Igbo film that is doing you. Chomachukuka. She is the one doing you. Iniedo. And the one's doing you. So just feel like eventually, God now want to just destroy the words. Jesus will now be begging him. God, you should have long suffering now. God. All of a sudden, now say, you now that have been begging for them, oh yeah, go to them. Go and see what they will do to you. They just now come to the head and now kill him. I told you, they killed you. Now what will you do? Because I just like you as my son, I will resurrect you on the third day. Yeah, but you think it's funny because you are well taught. People believe this, So Jesus now left heaven. He started coming down staircase. He's not staircase, he told us that from heaven to the earth. How do you think Jesus would have come? You think he would disappear? He has to use staircase now. Then now use staircase, he now reduce himself to so they enter Mary's womb. Mary now grim, never come back. Then Jesus now lived. After he 30 something, they now killed him. He now entered inside grave. Then God now left heaven to a staircase because you know God was not small. Right? And he now came to the earth as soon as he landed on the earth. When Jesus came, he came down from heaven. When he landed in Israel. There was trouble. God sent him down to Africa. We must praise him in the African way. We must praise him in the Africa. Ayo, yo, yo. Ayo, yo. Abina. Then God now say, you've done your own. I will do my own. What's my own? I will wake you up from the grave. And God now entered the grave and now tap Jesus. They say, yes, daddy. Abina. Jesus now said, God now said, Jesus, let's go. God now removed the door and now walk out. And say, I'm not leaving you, but you have to teach them for 40 days. No, that's cartoon. An average person believes what I just said. It's just that nobody has been there to show them that's what they believe. Right? So Jesus was not a junior God at the back of the door. Jesus is not the junior God. Jesus is God. He says, a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So Jesus is God that took on flesh to die for man. Are we together? And in doing that, a man who believes that receives forgiveness of sins. So it comes into your heart forever. So when you say the blood of Jesus, what are you saying? The life of God from the land of the dead. Are we together? But what do we use the blood of Jesus for now? Kota. I cover the road in the blood of Jesus. Are we together? The blood of Jesus is not about that liquid from his body. The blood is about his life, which he has given in the resurrection. So, when you say, how many of you used to drink the blood of Jesus when you were small? I drink the blood of Jesus. I drink. Oh, no, it's I plead. Yeah, you know, you say, I drink the blood of Jesus. I call myself the fire of the Holy Ghost. No, the believer doesn't drink the blood of Jesus every day. He has drank it once. How do you drink it? By believing the work of his spirit. Jesus tells you in John 6, he says, if you don't drink my blood, you have no life. So how do you have life? By drinking blood. So you've been initiated into his kingdom. You've been initiated into God's kingdom. He has initiated. So it's a blood conversation. Are we together? The Christian faith is a blood faith. It's a Christian faith that comes with blood. You don't partake in the Christian faith without what? Tasting blood. Hallelujah. You don't partake without tasting blood. So we have eaten and we've eaten the flesh. So we can say we are vampires. Jesus tells you, you cannot have life without being a vampire. Hallelujah. And he didn't expect you to eat his flesh. Are we together? So that's why our Father now gives Jesus as the bread. What does the daily bread mean? We said the daily bread is not a conversation that speaks about God giving you bread every day. If God gives you bread every day, you won't eat. How many of you can eat bread every day? How many of you can eat bread every day? There's people that can eat bread every day. But I can tell you, you can't eat bread every day. Every day, bread. No, you'll be tired. No, but if you like, mix it today with fish. Tomorrow with sardine. Tomorrow with komo. Bread and komo. Bread and egusi. Anything you want to mix everything. Bread and indomie. No matter what you want to do. Or bread and okra. No matter what you want to do. One time we come, you say, just put the bread and say, let me just drink the okra. You will know that your body is already telling you. That's the truth. You can't eat. So when he says, give us this day our daily bread. The daily bread is the sufficient bread. See what he says? He says, give us this day our daily bread. So give us in this dispensation your son as the bread of life. Are we together? What's daily bread? Eternal bread, everlasting bread, sufficient bread. When you eat God's bread, you've eaten it forever. You never get hungry. But you know you usually get hungry. Some of you are hungry now. Yes, now. But Jesus says, if you eat of my bread, you will never be hungry. You will never be thirsty. Some of you are thirsty. I'm thirsty right now. But it means that the thirst that Jesus' body or his blood quenches is not physical thirst. It's an everlasting thirst. You can never be thirsty. He says, you know, Jesus says, count on my words. You cannot be thirsty. He says, you cannot be hungry. Why? Because you've eaten bread. Bread you did not see. Bread you did not see. Hallelujah. So Paul now tells you, see, all this liberty we've spoken about. You see, in the real sense, don't allow this liberty. Say, God has not lived in you. And remember, God that has come to live in you will never leave you. Hebrews 13:5. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is God's word. God doesn't lie. Bible tells you God is a God who cannot lie. God doesn't lie. God doesn't do things to make you happy for the moment. No. So if he says, I will never leave you, so that you may say, the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. So the Lord is our helper who will never leave us. Despite, in spite, regardless of anything. Right? God loves you eternally. But Paul now says, you see this love, stand fast in this liberty where we accord. Don't allow this liberty be an excuse for you to give room to the flesh and do what you live carelessly. I said something yesterday, and I hope you heard me well. I said you owe God your life. If somebody should give you his life for your sake, you owe that person your life. You owe God your life. You owe God your life. So it means that in the real sense, when you see what God, that's what Paul now tells you in Romans 13. He says, owe no man anything but to what? Love. Praise God. Praise God. So he says, let love be the foundation, the fulcrum, the fulcrum, the fulcrum, the fulcrum, the fulcrum, the fulcrum. Look at James 2. Let me do a quick study on James 2. You know, faith without works is dead, Nabi. We studied that before, but let's look at that again. James chapter 2. You know, my brother, see, stop going to church alone. Look at, you need to come to the, you need to come to the, you know, the golf course, and let's meet people who have influence. Because faith without works, Bible says faith without works is what? Is dead. So the question becomes, faith without works in scriptures, what does it mean? Is he saying when you are praying, read your book? When you are praying to God, you have faith in God. But you must read your book. Which one is more important? No, you're supposed to have asked first. Which one is more important to who? Abi? Praying and reading your book. Which one is more important to God? Praying now, Abi? Which one is more important to you? Okay, let me say it this way. Which one is more important to the people that sponsor you to school? Reading your book. Are we together? Let me ask you a question. Can you read your book and not pray and be first? Yes. Your voice was loud. So, in the real sense, sometimes people always laugh at us as believers, especially in school settings where you see people who are heads of fellowships and things like that, you know, always saying they are in church. You know, if that's what you wanted to really do in a school, there are missionary schools. Right? So, faith in the real sense, or let me say it this way, let's use prayer for figurative for faith. Prayer should be consistent irrespective of any other thing you want to achieve. It is not this or this. Dear saint, it can be this and this. But you must know that priority to you, you are first a believer. What does the Bible tell you? You know, Jesus will tell you that men ought to pray and pray always. You ought to always be a praying machine. Don't be someone who just begins to pray because of trouble. What happens when the trouble goes? You stop what? You stop praying. That's why a lot of us, we built our Christian faith around need, 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 need. That's why there's some people you see, they were fervent. But when they begin to have money, what happened? Everything drops. They were never fervent. They were only trying to be fervent to impress God.
So God will look at their direction. That's it. They were only trying to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all other things shall be what? Added. What were they really seeking? All other things, though. Using backdoor. Are we together? So you ought to be someone that, despite what comes your way, despite what phase of life you are in, what kind of job you are one who is a prayer. You see, you hold your faith in high esteem. So when the Bible tells you faith without works is dead, you need to just read in context. Let's read in context. James chapter 2. Are you in James chapter 2? So I want you to follow and listen carefully. I mean, a lot of you have heard the teaching on this already. But look at what it says. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, which respects to what? Person. So he opens up the book of James, or chapter James 2. Remember, it should have been from chapter 1 you read. Are we together? Because James did not write the book of James in chapters. Neither did he write in what? In verses. So when he says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to person. What is he saying? He's saying, don't use the faith of, or your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be an hindrance in how you divide people or relate with people. That's a better way to look at it. Look at what he says in verse 2. How do I know that's what it means? Verse 2 says, for if there come unto your assembly a man with gold ring. When you see a man with gold ring, ideally you should think he's what? Rich. And in a goodly apparel. And there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. What is gay clothing? Is he saying he's dressing like homosexual? So what is gay clothing? A figurative expression to speak of the man that has golden ring and goodly apparel. Are you there? In verse 2, right? So he says, wear the gay clothing. And you say unto him, sit thou here. That is because he has gold ring. Our brother at the door, or our sister at the door, we celebrate you, come with me please. And you bring him to a front seat in church. Are we together? Then you now say to the poor man, stand outside. Are we together? Stand out there and sit here under my footstool. What did he say in verse 4? Are ye not then partial in yourself? What is he saying? That is partiality. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and have become judges of evil thoughts? He now says in verse 5, he says, hearken, my beloved brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in what? Faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him. But ye have despised the poor. Ideally, when he despised the poor, who are they despising? They are despising someone who is rich in faith. Are you here? Yes, he says, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? He says, do not they blaspheme that warning name by the which ye are called? He says, if ye fulfill the what? Royal law according to the scriptures. Now, royal law according to scripture. What is the royal law? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. How did Paul say that in Romans? The Romans 13 we just read today. But he said it in one way. The law is fulfilled in one word. What did James say? No. What did he say? He said, if ye fulfill the royal law. So the royal law is what Paul will say. The law is fulfilled in one word, which is what? Thou shalt love your neighbor as thyself. So what is expected for the believer? We ought to treat both the poor and the rich that walk through that door the same way. As long as it's the church. Dear saints, the church is the unifier. The church is the breaking ground that the poor and the rich should come to, and there is no disparity. Why? Because there's a common term. What is the common term? They all have the spirit. They are rich in faith. Are we together? You know, the world puts us in a position where if you don't dress well, we know where to arrange you because we don't want our pictures to pick you. We now go and arrange you at the back of someone that's at the back of someone. Then if you now wear good clothes, what happens? We bring you for, come with me, please. Could you sit here? It didn't start today. What did James say? James says you are partial. What did James call it? If you don't do that for another brother who came in that is not the governor, you are partial. You fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. Thou shalt love. He now says verse 9. Look at verse 9, everybody. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit what? Ye commit what? So having respect to people means you are committing what? Sin. And you are convinced of the law as a what? Transgressor. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offending one, is guilty of what? Of all. Look at verse 11, everybody. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said, do not kill, do not commit adultery. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a what? Transgressor of the law. So if you say, I don't kill, but I steal, you are a transgressor of the law. He says, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that had showed no mercy, and mercy judged against judgment. Now let's carefully look at verse 14. What does it say? What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith, and he have not works, can faith save him? Dear saints, what saves a man from eternal condemnation? What now? If you have faith now. Are we together? So faith in Christ Jesus saves a man from eternal condemnation. So is faith enough to save a man? Yes now. Isaiah will tell you, Isaiah 1, he says, come now, let's reason together. If your sins be as red as crimson, I'll make them white as wool. He now says what? If you be willing and what? Obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now we said the good of the land is what? The bread of heaven, which the Father from heaven gives. So faith is all you need to be saved. But listen, but that means the Bible is contradicting itself now, Abi. See what he says now. He says, what does it profit, my brethren? Though a man says he has faith and he has no works, can faith save him? That's contradictory. So it means we either have to pay attention to this portion of the scripture, or we have to change all we have known. That means all you need, or if you want to be saved, you have to believe in Jesus and walk. Are we here? Now look at the next verse. Verse 15. If a brother or a sister be naked, and is destitute of what? Please, my dear sisters and brothers, that daily food, is that sufficient bread?
No.
Look at it again, no. Is that sufficient bread? No, this daily food is the one you eat every day. The one some of you are looking forward to this evening. This daily is the daily food. Are we together? He now says, if your brother or your sister be naked and is destitute, the meaning of destitute there will mean what? To lack food. To lack daily food. That means he cannot feed himself. Money has to move. He can't feed himself. See what he now says? And one of you now say unto them, he says, go in peace. He say, be warmed and be filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Are you there? So when somebody says, I'm hungry, and you can afford it, what do you do? You don't say, take it. Be filled. Are we together? You know, what I'm explaining right now is not going to usually be that literal. Not too many people have the ability to be saying, take it, feed. But it's the figurative expression to talk about how you chase the person away without giving him the food he needs that you can afford. Are we together? So he says, if he is destitute of food or daily food, he said, depart, go in peace. He said, what does it profit? Look at verse 17. What does verse 17 now say? Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Listen to that carefully. Faith to believe the resurrection, is that all you need to be saved? Is that all you need alone to be saved? But he's saying, faith, if he does not have works, is dead. That means we need to pay attention to what he's saying. Look at verse 18. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Listen to what he says next carefully, dear saints. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith. I will show you my faith by my work. What is he saying? I will show you have received of God's faithfulness. I have faith in the resurrection by how I love another person. So if I say I've received of God's faithfulness by faith and I don't show love, what is that? My faith I have received is dead without works. To who? God or man? Man. Because he's giving a narrative of man who is destitute of daily food. Are you following me? So man is destitute of daily food. I've received of God's faithfulness.
What do I need to do? I dispense God's faithfulness to you. That's why the example he tells you, he says he's naked, he's destined of daily food. And you say, be filled. What is expected from you who has by faith received of God's faithfulness? You give him if you have. I see, have you gone home? So what did James now say? He says, I will show you my faith. How? By my works. Dear saints, the Christian faith is a faith such that we see the slant of your heart to a large extent by the actions of yourself or your body. Do you get what I mean? Do you understand what I mean? You cannot say you are a believer and you are stingy. Are we here? You can't say you are a believer and your hand is like this. What do they call it? Akagam. You can't say you are a believer and your hand is like this. That is not to also say, because you are a believer, what happened? You spread. Spreading everywhere. Right? You don't say that. Right? So, there's a place. So, it means that there's something godly about having an income and setting apart from your income to meet the needs of other people. Are you here? There's something godly about walking in love by showing your faith by your works. See what it says next. Look at verse 19. It says, thou believest that there is God, thou doest well. Even the devils also believe, and they do what? Tremble. Now look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Faith without works is what? Dead. Now look at the example he tells you. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Hallelujah. Romans tells you that Abraham was justified and made righteous by faith alone. James now tells you Abraham was justified by works. It means that the justification he's talking about are two different justifications. So the justification of Abraham James talks about here is before men. The justification that Paul talks about in Romans is before God. Because you get justified by faith and faith alone. Remember that scripture, we taught it yesterday. The just shall live by faith. What do we say the word there, faith is? Pistis, faithfulness. We now said the just shall live by his faithfulness. We now said the word live there is the word that means to come alive or be alive. So the just shall be alive because of his faithfulness. So we have come alive because of his faithfulness. That one is only to God though. But the justification of our faith to man is seen by our works. That's why James will tell you, I will show you what I believe by how generous I can be towards a man. So the word there, dead, is not a word that means. Remember, I was doing an example somewhere over the weekend. You know, and I said something. I said, a word only makes sense in the context in which it is used. Hallelujah. Imagine I wrote a letter to you now, for instance, Brother Steve, right? And I said, Brother Nonsu was in my house over the weekend. First line, I said, dear Brother Steve, right? Brother Nonsu was in my house. Salutation. I hope you are good. Your family and you are eating well. Brother Nonsu was in my house over the weekend. I played. Brother Nonsu was in my house over the weekend. We played PlayStation 2. Eh? Oh, sorry, not 2. 5. We are in 5. I'm still saying 2. We played PS5. And I used Chelsea and he used Arsenal. And I killed Branonso. All together. And I killed Branonso. Right? To the point he couldn't stand up after the game. Doxology. Dear saints, imagine as I was sending a letter to him, this brother now, DHL, he took the letter, he now opened it. And maybe he was looking around to see if anybody is watching him. He opened it, and the first thing his eye caught was, I killed Brandon. So he said, okay. So I'm the one that isn't to deliver more that letter. Letter they used to go. Imagine he now goes to police station. I know a murderer. I know Cain's brother. I know Cain's brother. Cain is still on the air too. And police now follow you to his house. What happened? You now get to the house. You now say, where's the letter? You now, because you are ashamed. Because why did you open the letter at first? You are now ashamed. You are hiding behind the door. I'll be behind the curtain. You now bring the letter and show you this. And say, is this the letter or is not the letter? You say, it's the letter. Oh, yeah, what did he say? Dear Brother Nonso, what does I killed Brother Nonso mean? I flogged him. I trashed him. But I can use I killed him. If it is that I genuinely killed him, I shouldn't say he could not stand up. I've been there. Because he's supposed to be, I've been gone. So imagine I now say I killed. So what now happens? You feel very what? You know, just give you any definition. That's the same way Bible ought to be read. You can't pick a word out of context. You know, I always say this thing in Bible study. There's no word in the scripture that has a universal meaning across the scriptures. More often than not, an average word, even the word God, doesn't always speak about God, our Father of Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's the God of this world. See, you can open your Bible, and the Bible tells you, and God killed him. It will be there, but it's not there. You know, I've shown you an example, for instance, in Samuel and Chronicles, when the Bible tells you that God moved David to number the people. I will now say that David was apologizing. When we now read a later account in Chronicles, what did he say? The devil. It was Satan. But what did 1 Samuel call it? God or the Lord. So when you see the Lord, he's not always speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see the word dead, when you see the word snake, he's not always talking about snake as an animal. That's why Genesis 3 says, now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the, any beast of the what? The field. The serpent in Genesis 3, was it a literal animal? No, snakes didn't use to talk. Are we together? Snakes did not have a vocabulary, except to ease. But Moses will pick that context to pass a message across to the people. Hallelujah. So the word there, dead, is a word that, now, in the context of my letter to him, what's the word dead? Flogged, can we say flogged, another synonym? Defeated, can we say what? Can we say trash? Can we say dealt with him? But I chose to use what? So the same way, your writer of your Bible chose to use dead. But it's not talking about killing somebody. The word there, dead, is from the Greek word that means inoperative. Are we together? The word there, dead, is from the Greek word that means what? Inoperative. So when he says faith without works is dead, what's he saying? Faith without works is inoperative. How is it inoperative? Because you've received of God's faithfulness, which is God's love, and you are supposed to dispense love to man. But the love you've received, you are not communicating it to other men. That's why the Bible now tells you in John, it says, we love because he first what? Loved. Hallelujah. So God is love, becomes the first neighbor to man, and man kills God because, and God now supplied forgiveness of sins to his neighbor. So when he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, what is he teaching about? He's teaching about the fact that you ought to dispense love, the love you've received, in abundance. Did that make that clear for you? So faith without works is not dead in terms of salvation. Are we here? For salvation, you actually need faith without works. But for conduct, you need what? Faith by works or with works. Did you get what I just said? For being saved, you need faith without works. But for conduct amongst men, men need to see your works to know your faith. That's like, men need to see your conduct be to know your faith. Men need to see your love work to know your faith. So you can't say, that's why it starts from verse 1 in chapter 2. It says, my brethren, you receive the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't have this faith with respect to people. That means don't be partial. So in terms of conduct, faith without works is what? Dead. In terms of being saved, right, it is faith and faith alone. That's why it now goes further and tells you the example of Abraham, our father, was justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made what? Made perfect, rather. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him. You see what it just says? You see what it says? It says, the scriptures was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Was it his works that made him made righteousness imputed unto him? No, it was he believed. So his works is for who? For men. Hallelujah. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only to men. Are you in your Bibles? Don't look at me, oh please. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? When she had received the messengers and had sent them out on that way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Dead also. It's speaking about conduct to men. Hallelujah. Conduct to men. So, in real sense, Christ is our Savior who has come to give his life for us. By extension, we express that life we've received to our fellow brethren. Remember, the fulfillment of all the laws is in the fact that thou shalt love. Hallelujah. So you can summarize the law as thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as you have been loved. So it means that love will build the fulcrum for any decision you make. Are you here? Love will be at the fulcrum of any decision you make. So the question now becomes, if you want to do something, the question you ask yourself is, what will the love of God do? Let's pay attention to a few things along that line today. So Christ is our Savior, not our inspector. Who is the inspector? Men. That's why you hear this statement, and she called herself a, and she calls herself a what? A Christian. Or she calls herself a believer. And he said he's saved. Why? You're an inspector. Are we together? Are we together? Because men will always want to see your works. Hallelujah. Men will always want to see your works. Men will always want to see your works. Look at it. Let me tell you, dear saints. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the flesh. Oh. I hope you know that. I can only know what your heart is saying by looking at what you are doing. A lot of times, you can even pretend in what you are doing, and what you are doing doesn't reflect what your heart is saying. God sees the heart, but men will always look on the outside. So God sees inside, men see what? Outside, though, you are a vessel. Oh. Are we together? See, your Christian faith is not between you and God alone. Are we here? Your Christian faith is not between you. No, leave me and my God. No. Your God has left you to express a certain lifestyle amongst men. If your Christian faith is between you and God alone, the day you believe the gospel, you're supposed to disappear from the earth. Nobody say you go to Abraham's bosom. But you're on the earth. Why? To express a kind of life, a kind of lifestyle. So your Christian faith is not just between you and God. Say, ah, God, though. No, no, don't go there. You know, God sees my heart. Men. And because men will see your conduct, it means there are certain things you ought to do. Hallelujah. There are some times and some conversations that, in the real sense, people can assume you are saying something because you are neutral. But there's such a thing called an expression of certain things, in the real sense, you know, because men will always be looking for what they want to see. Are you here? Praise God. Hallelujah. So we looked at 1st, 2nd Timothy as well, speaking about how God, the teaching of the doctrine of Christ, you know, produces an assurance, by extension, brings correction. This is very important to note. I wrote this here. I said, God changes people by the gospel. And when God changes a man, the man is changed forever. I'll say it again. God changes people by the gospel, through the message of the gospel. And when God changes a man, the man is changed forever. Hallelujah. God's word changes a man from the inside. God's word, the gospel, changes a man from the inside. Now, having been changed, God and the world expect a lifestyle from that man. That's a continuation to that. Having been changed, God and the world expect a lifestyle from that man. God and the world, they expect a lifestyle in your walk on the earth. That's why we call it the believer's walk. Hallelujah. So, the same gospel that doesn't trouble is the same gospel that corrects. Are we here? No, we said that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says that from a child that's known the Holy Scripture, it says, and scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and they are what? Advantageous for doctrine. Now, look at how that scripture goes. It says, they are advantageous for doctrine. That means they are profitable for doctrine. He now says, for reproof. That means when doctrine is taught, you will see reproof, that is assurance. When you see assurance, you see what? Correction.
When you see correction, what should you see everything as? It is training of the man of God. That the man of God may be what? Furnished. Hallelujah. Unto what? Unto good works. So faith without that works. Are we together? Right? To man is inoperative. But to God, when you believe, that is all. You are saved forever. So without your works, you are saved. Are we together? So without your works, you are saved by bragging on his work. Yes? What is his work? The work in the resurrection. So once you see his resurrection, what do you see? You see, I have eternal life. You are forever saved. You are forever secured. You are there forever, doggedly there forever. So your good works is not to make God... let me say it this way. Your good works is not to mark points with God. Are you here? Some of us believe that when you do good today, God will say 3. When you go to tomorrow, God will say 7. That is what? 2 plus 3, 10. God is doing math on your head. You now do good, we say it's 13. You do small good, we say it's 2.5. You are at 15.723. Then when you now do something good, you will now weigh how terrible what you've done is or was. What will you now do? You will now subtract. Let me tell you, dear saints, you will subtract to the point you are in minus. You will be in minus 20 one time, and you'll be owing God. What now happens if at that point something just happened and they say you slept? You go to heaven. And that's what you see when I say these things. Don't just think I'm forming things in my head though. Let me ask you a question, Sister Prosperous. Why should somebody say that God took him to heaven and he saw his duplex God built for him, but the roof was not there? Because he thinks what? Beautiful. So he thinks that he has a lot of work to do on the earth, and as he's doing it, messing. Plumber, they are working. When you now love somebody, I'll be giving spoil. What do you say? Shall I call the name? Angel Razak. Angel Razak. Razak! Just help us quickly connect water to that house. It seems like he's doing well on the earth. You don't want to know when you will die. Maybe the day you now die, you've not done the work that will make them roof the room. Ray will now be beating you in heaven. I say, but God told me that you can stay downstairs. That is how people think. People think that when you do things on earth, God is... You know, some of you believe that there's a house in another planet. That God is building a house. Say, my father's house, there are many... And God doesn't build small house. It has to be mansion. God has a big estate with different prototypes. When you are in that area, it's for those of you who are not serious with the Christian faith. This one is for those of you that are love but no conduct. Then this one is for those of you that have conduct, no love. This one is love and conduct. Then this one is love, conduct, and souls. Abi? Then as you now, when you do love today, what happened? You hear the angel do prah on the zinc. They've knocked the first one. And then they've knocked the house. Abi? Then when you now finish, maybe God now help you. You're able to do well on the earth. God now say, this is your house in heaven, no? But because I want you to live in content house, go back to the earth. That's not how they used to say it. They were in trance for 3 days. Abina, God now say, your work on the earth has not finished. I say, now say, go back. What are you looking for again? You have to manage your life so that they will connect water and light. It's Nigeria that is doing you. What happens if you now, nothing now happens to you again? And the time it happened to you, you have not done the light. They've not done the bowl. You now live in the house. You now be tapping. You now go with wire to be tapping from your neighbor. Tap from your neighbor and connect to your DB and you distribute that to your sockets. So we used to believe that believers will be electricians in the resurrection. Some of you will still go to heaven with your solar panel from the earth. Solar panel and buy energy. Energy saver AC. Energy saver AC. You install it. If God doesn't install, you install your own. That is how people think. I'm not even joking with you. That's it. Now, that's why somebody can come and tell you, say, God said, my house is not complete. And now, you are covetous on earth. You still carry your covetousness into it. You still follow your spirit man into heaven. It's covetousness. Now, why now? Because it's covetousness that makes you think that it's based on your works, you will have bigger house in heaven. That's why some people are working hard on earth, trying to live a life so they can what? Make it. Because there's also a possibility that you'll be owing God. And when something happens to you on the earth, you will not enter. At the gate of the heaven, they'll say they remove your name.
You now get to heaven. I say, call God now. Call him. He's expecting me. Call him. Call God. He's expecting me. Just tell him, Joshua Yusuf. Just tell him, he knows me by name. After all, we sang it. I'm a man called by name. I'm loved by the Father. He knows my name. Angel Gabriel will not help you call God. You see, show him his track record. You should not show your record. Nobody needs to tell you. You know where you are going to. You just feel that. No, it's cartoon that is doing us. Your conduct doesn't influence your eternal state. You are saved and saved forever. The temple that God built is not temple of cement. It's not temple of zinc. It's not temple of pipe. It's not temple of wire. It's not temple of socket. It's not temple of wood. It is a temple of a human, a body. That's why Paul will now tell you we are the temple of God. We are the ones that house God, not here. Are we together? We just use this place as a place where people who already house God come together to learn the word and to grow in faith. You are the temple of God. God doesn't live in places made with hands. Hallelujah. God wants to live in man. So God's plan from the beginning has been to, I want to indwell man. Only the believer can say, I house God. No other religion can say, I house God. Only the believer can say it. Only the Christian can say it. I house God. I'm the house of his glory. Hallelujah. I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit. I have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. What is expected from you? Faith with works. So that men can see what you've received. You can't say you have the Holy Ghost and not forgive easily. Are we together? You can't say you have the Holy Ghost, you have financial money in your pocket, and everybody that comes to you, your hand is like this. You can't say you've received, because the Christian faith is a faith that actually speaks of a liberal giving. God poured his love to mankind. That's why when Paul now tells you in Ephesians, he says that you might know the exceeding greatness of his power towards what? Who believe. The greatest power of God was expressed in the resurrection towards man. So you are too much of a love being to be stingy. Are we here? You are too much of a love being to not dispense love. It's an overflow. You have not just paid attention to what you have. Are we together? That's why when Paul now tells you in 2 Corinthians, he now says what? He says, he that was rich was made poor. Hallelujah. He was rich in grace, rich in supernatural wealth. He was rich in the spiritual. He was rich as a spirit, and he took on flesh. That is poverty. So that what? We might be rich. We've now received the riches of his mercy, the riches of his grace. So we are God's rich men. Remember that teaching? God's rich man. So 2018, 2019, God's rich man. We are God's rich men on the earth. The difference between brother A and brother B is the fact that they don't know on the same level. So what do you ought to do? Both brother A, both brother B, they ought to give themselves to knowledge so they can grow in grace. And what happens? You are a love dispenser. So there is no believer that lacks love. Did you get that? There is no believer that lacks the ability to love because he has received the fullness of God's love. No believer lacks the ability to love because he has received the fullness of God's love. So when we say things like this, God's word, that same God's word you've received upon the resurrection is the same word that brings correction to us. We saw that on Sunday, how God does what? That we said God is a God of chastisement. Remember that teaching? Right? How does God chastise? Through his what? Through his words. Through the word. God chastises us. So that means God corrects us through his word. Hallelujah. You know, I always keep saying something, right? Let me tell you something. There are lots of things on this earth today that were not issues of Paul in his time. Do you agree with me? There are lots of things today, if we want to start listing, we will list plenty, that were not issues of Paul in his time. So if there are not issues, you know, there are lots of things that are issues to us today that will take a new dimension in the next 20 years, in the next 40 years. So, if Paul at this time will be writing to the church at this time, he'll be writing based on the immediate things he needs to correct in his time. Did you get that? The only reason why you know that Paul addressed a man sleeping with his father's wife was because it was happening. The only reason you know that people were coming to church and were drinking and getting drunk was because it was happening. If it never happened, you would have never known.
So what does Paul do with his letters? Paul will pick his letters and set a template as to how we judge and condemn things that ought not to be in all of time. What I mean is, the same First Corinthians, we can pick it today and address and correct some things in today's world. And that First Corinthians will not lose its effect in the next 50 years to bring correction. Because God's word is going to remain the same through time. So the question becomes, how do you know how to differentiate between the things you ought to do and the things you ought not to do? That's a very important question the believer has. Now, I'm always saying it. The major question in a lot of people's heart, is it wrong to? Why can't I do what I want to do? Why can't I live the life I want to live? Why can't I be who I want to be? Why can't I just live anyhow I want to be? Do anything? No. You owe God your life, dear saints. Hallelujah. You owe God your life. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Are you in 1 Corinthians 10? Verse 23. Are you there? Please, I want everybody to be in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. And let's read together as a family. Are you there? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. 24, 1, 2, 3, go. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. Now, you know wealth is in italics? Right. So, how can you read that? Let no man seek his own. Can we say let no man be selfish? But every man look forward to another. That means because you want to help somebody, because your love is not a selfish love, you will not just do what you want to do because you feel like doing it. Saints, listen to me carefully. Right? You will do and stay away from certain things because you are not a selfish person. That means, to a large extent, when you see believers doing certain things or wanting to do certain things, they are seeing themselves as selfish, or they are selfish. What we'll look at that in 1 Corinthians 6. What is Paul teaching? He says, you can explain anything you want to explain and say as lawful. That's why I started this series by telling you something. The Bible will not tell you the kind of face cap you should wear. I don't think Paul had face caps at this time. The Bible will not tell the kind of face cap, whether you wear a face cap front, face cap back, or face cap side. It won't tell you that. The Bible will not tell you that as a man, you have to wear free clothes that will not bring out all your muscles. It won't tell you that. You can see that. The Bible will not tell you that as a lady, you should not wear, your skirt must be 10 inches minimum. You will see that in the Bible. But the Bible will tell you that whilst you can explain and say, this thing, there is nothing wrong in it. It says, because you are not a selfish human, you will stay away from it. You know what parents we have as believers? One of the parents we have as believers is the fact that we think we can't stay away from a lot of things. But it's really because it's an expression of what's being selfish. Are you here? You see, love is not selfish, right? Love is not selfish. No matter the question you have about believers' love work or believers' conduct, let love be the litmus test or litmus paper for you to test. So it means, you see, let me tell you something. You know, you can be doing something and in your innocence, somebody is affected by it. Are you here? You can be walking on a path, and in your innocence, somebody is affected by that. The fact remains that if someone notices that path you are walking in, because you might never know, and someone should bring your attention to it and correct you on that, the safest thing for you to do, even if it's because of one person, is to leave that path. As long as it doesn't tamper or tarnish your vision and the mission of bringing souls into the kingdom. As long as it doesn't affect or influence your passion and burning desire for lost souls or for ministry generally.
Paul says all things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. What is he saying? He's saying, right, while I can explain everything, I can stay away from some things. I said, why am I staying away? Because of the love of God. Dear brother, dear man, dear woman, dear husband, dear wife, you will not die. He says, let every man look forward to another, not self. You see, we're in a generation right now where we preach selfish love. We say a lot of interesting things, but really it's just an expression of being selfish. It's just an expression of being selfish. Let me tell you something. You know, you can never be misquoted when you keep quiet. Let me say this better. You can never be misquoted for saying nothing. And dear saints, you are not called to this world to talk on every conversation. Because everybody just feels like, I have access to my 150 characters per tweet or per post and whatever. I can say anything I want to say. No. You are first a believer before any other thing you are on this earth. You are first one who owes God his life before any other thing you are on this earth. So Paul says, all things to me might be lawful, but not all things are expedient. For man ought not to pay attention to himself or to be selfish. Are we together? Let no man seek his own, but every man seek another's. So it means that when you have the question, is it right, is it wrong, pastor? Which some of you will have right now in your heart. The question becomes, what does the love of God say? Hallelujah. What does the love of God say? What does the love of God say? You know, there are some things that in the real sense, because of what the culture of the world and the environment you are in has projected on those things, whilst you can do them in your room, are we here? Whilst you can do them in the comfort of your space, whilst you can, what do I mean? So let's go back to that conversation I was talking about when you have maybe a topic that is too controversial. I should be able to have a controversial topic with my wife. You get that? But if I know the effects, not on her, on someone else, I should be able to stay away from it and miss someone else. But I can have that conversation with her in our private space. That's why Paul will write the way he wrote. Let's close our teaching today in 1 Corinthians 6. Are you in 1 Corinthians 6? We'll come back here and continue from here on Sunday. 10. So look at 1 Corinthians 6, 12. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 8. See what it says. It says, nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your own brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, etc., whatever, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were what? Some of you. Now, such were some of you. Does that mean that it didn't address the sum of them that was committing adultery in chapter 5? Or look at it this way. This chapter 6, he says some of you were fornicators. In chapter 5, did he not address a fornicator? But the fornicator he addressed was a believer. So it means we don't address the believer on his acts. We address the believer on the act of God. Don't address the believer as that action. Look at that on Wednesday. So you see, some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Now let's read verse 12 together. 1, 2, 3, go. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What is he saying? If there's anything you think you cannot stay away from for the sake of the Christian faith, you've been brought under the power of that thing. If there is that thing that you think you can't stay away from, for the cause of the gospel, it means that that thing has your heart. So he says, I will not be brought under the power of anything. What does that mean? Let me tell you something. If for any reason there is that thing you think you want to, you cannot stay away from, for the sake of a fellow brother, for the sake of a fellow sister, for the sake of a fellow colleague, because you just want to do it, that thing has a grip over you. Now look at chapter 8. Let's end in verse 8.
now as touching things offered to idols. Dear saints, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is a fundamental scripture to judge or to use as a conduct or to explain the conduct of the believer. What am I saying? It's easy to read 1 Corinthians chapter 8. What is 1 Corinthians chapter 8 about? Look at the first line there. Now as touching things offered to, you might think that he's talking about only idols conversation. But dear saint, remember I said something a few minutes ago, right? Paul will address what is happening in his immediate sphere. So one of the challenges they had, we'll look at that on Sunday, was things concerning what? Idols. Now look at what he says. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge perfecteth, but charity what? So if you try to say you are at liberty, I know, there's nothing wrong in this. I know, there's nothing wrong in this. You are just getting puffed up. But what we edify your fellow counterpart is what? Charity. What is charity? Love. Are we together? So now, as believers, there are two ways you can do things. You can do things from a place of knowledge and do things from a place of love. Whilst you are doing things from a place of love, you might have a great knowledge that might support your doing things at a place of love. That's different. That's a different ballgame. But you can decide. So I'm using you can do things from a place of love and do this from a place of knowledge to address your question, Pastor, is it wrong? That's what this series is about. Pastor, is it wrong too? Pastor, why can't I? Pastor, why can't I? Why shouldn't I? Paul says, knowledge puffs. So because you think you know, you become selfish. And what happens? You now push your shoulder around people and do things that are causing terrible things or damage to people. See, there's a difference between you did not know and you know somebody has told you, but you still do it. That is why there needs to be a consistent exposure of one's heart to God's word. You know, there's some things you do and you know it is wrong. Are we together? You know now. And some things you find yourself doing, you know. But what happens? Maybe somewhere in your heart, there's one still small voice. It's the voice of God. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't stop. Yes. And as you go. Yeah? God's voice. What does Paul say? He says if you want to bring edification to something that would be of a good check for someone else, not you. Because the moment you are after yourself is selfish love. And the Bible doesn't teach selfish love. You can teach selfish love, but not from this Bible. Are we together? What this Bible owes you is a selfless love. Because that is the love God expressed to mankind. Dear saints, you were dead in sin when God died for you. That's selfless. The death of Jesus was not to appease God. That's why I started that conversation. God was not trying to make himself calm down by seeing blood. No, God was trying to show you that he's a selfless God. So when you see the resurrection, you see a selfless Lord. What did he now say the law can be summarized in? He says, love your neighbor as you have been what? Loved. Look at that on Sunday. So if any man thinks that he knoweth anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. Love supposed to be there. That's what he's saying. But if any man loves God, the same is known of him. Now look at verse 4. Are you in verse 4? Let me close here. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. That means the question they had to Paul was, Oga, brother, see, we have a problem. You know, there's this meat that they used to give to idols. Can we eat it? Is it, no, let me ask you like Sister Esther. Is it wrong to eat it or not? Is that not the question they're asking? That's what they are asking. He said, as concerning, that's what Paul now says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing. So Sister Esther now says, I know that there is nothing like idol. Are we together? He now says, and that there is none other God but one. All other gods, they are the what? Works of men. That's what Sister Esther is singing to our pastor. Right? Remember, Sister Esther's question to our pastor is it wrong to do what? To eat meat offered to idol. Look at verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heavens or in earth, and there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is what? But one God, the Father of whom all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. How be it? Look at verse 7. Please follow what I'm saying. Verse 7, what does it say? How be it? There is not in every man that knowledge. What is he saying? Sister Esther, you know that there's only one God, though, but that knowledge is only in you. Are we together?
He now says, for some with the conscience, fellow, some with the conscience of idols, that means those who believe that they are God's idols, unto this hour, they eat it as a thing offered unto idols, and their conscience being weak is what? Are you here? Their conscience being weak is what? Defiled. What is he saying? Sister Esther, there is something you will do about this idol meat, that somebody who doesn't have your knowledge will eat because he or she saw you eating, and the person's conscience will be defiled because of you. Are you here? Look what he now says. He says in verse 8, but we know that meat commendeth us not to God. What is he saying? Whether you eat or not, when it's about God, nothing change. Oh, you have received the Spirit. Meat commend. So we don't use meat to determine if you are a son of God. So it means what you will say in the next verses is not about you and God. He has told you meat doesn't commend us to God. He now tells you, for neither if we eat, I just explained that, are we better. So he says, Sister Esther, if you eat that food, it's not like you are better to God. Neither if we eat not, it's not that you are worse. So Sister Esther is asking Pastor, is it wrong to eat this meat offered to an idol? What is Paul telling Sister Esther? Sister Esther, you know that there's only one God. That thing they call idol as a God is nonsense. There are many gods, but there is one God. So when it comes to this meat that they are offering to idols, you know that there's only one God. That meat, eating it or not, doesn't make you better or worse. You get that? He says, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours, you become a what? Lest by any means this liberty. What is liberty? Remember, Sister Esther feels like because she has the knowledge, she's free to eat any meat. What did Paul say in Galatians 5? Stand fast in this liberty. He says, don't allow your liberty to be given as an expression or expresses with the flesh. So he says, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are what? What is he saying? Sister Esther that's asking, is he wrong or is not wrong? There's Brother Ayiri, who has a weak conscience. There's Sister Prosperous, who feels like there are so many gods. There's Brother Nonso, who feels like that idol is actually a true God. But Sister Esther knows that there's only one God. So he says, if Sister Esther eats or not, nothing is changing between Sister Esther's conscience and her God. But there's a weak brother who, by seeing Sister Esther, is defiled because of Sister Esther. So what is Sister Esther to that brother? Sister Esther is a what? Stumbling block to the brother. He says, for if any man sees thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat at the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him... Is that what I just explained? If a brother sees Sister Esther at the idol's temple, if Sister Esther says she did not even allow them to bring the meat to her house, she went to the meat. He says, Sister Esther is at the idol's temple. Shall not the conscience of Brother Nonso, who is weak, be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? What happened? Let's read verse 11 together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. You become a stiff stumbling block to him. Remember, to God, you are not a stumbling block to anything. The only thing you are a stumbling block is you are a stumbling block to this brother who God died for. Are we together? Look at verse 12. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound the weak conscience of the brethren, who are you sinning against? What is he saying? His tester knows that there are weaker people who don't know. But let me. You see what Paul is using to address this matter? Meat. There's a, who doesn't eat meat any day, every day? Paul uses meat to address conduct. He says, you know that there's no other God, but meat. You go to the idol's temple, you eat meat. There's a brother who believes. There's a brother whose conscience, whose knowledge, he's not disciplined enough. This is what is happening, though. Brandon, so he's not disciplined enough to see Sister Esther and see her eat and choose not to eat. Rather, Brandon, so because of his lack of discipline, what happens? He is influenced by Sister Esther and he eats it. Then what happens? His conscience is defiled. Why? Because he is weak. Sister Esther is strong. So what is that knowledge doing? That knowledge is puffing Sister Esther off. But if Sister Esther mixes that knowledge with charity, which is the what she do, she will stay away from the idol's temple and the idol's meat. Not because if she eats the meat, she's not saved, but because there's a brother also who is looking at her, who will be influenced by her action. Wherefore, if meat will make my brother to sin, I will what? I will eat no flesh while the word standeth, lest I make my brother to be offended. So, what is the measuring tape to your actions? What will the love of God do? you stay away from it. Not because God wants to bring you to heaven. No, you are in God's family. And that is why you, as a stronger person, a more mature person, should stay away from certain things. So the believer cannot wear anything she wants to wear. What should guide your actions is the love for God. If your brother tells you, Kai, there are some brothers that when they see this, this world has become so perverse, or most people sell rubbish as clothes. Not every cloth is for you. Your conduct will be seen by men. You can look beautiful without being naked. If you cover your body for the rest of your life, nobody will die. But if you expose your body, people are dying. Can you wear what you are wearing out? And pastor say, quickly come to church for a meeting. Let us come boldly. What will you do? You have to quickly either run home or look for something to cover yourself. You can be covered, dear saints. Don't think because we are teaching about liberty, you can live anyhow you want to live. It's a call to live a restrained life. Keep your body for your husband. Even husbands, keep your body for your wife. Your husband owns your body. Your wife owns your body. There are some things I dare not wear at the swimming pool. You can be an Olympic swimmer and still be decent. You can play lawn tennis with proper clothes. You can swim with proper clothes. If Paul was in this generation, you would have seen what he would have written. You know that, that's what they told you in that picture now. Paul wants to write to the church. He said, I don't know where to start. Church in Nigeria. He said, I don't know where to start. But one thing I know about Paul is that Paul will start somewhere. He will start by reminding you what has been paid on top of your head. And he will correct. That's my first Corinthians. We look at that on Sunday. He first tells you are the house of God. You are the temple of God. He now tells you, why is this found amongst you? I want to be the way I want to be. No, pastor, look at my heart. No, pastor cannot look at your heart. I'm not God. Can I also tell you examples of brothers that have been found wanting instead of conversion because of what they saw, even in the church? Men should discipline themselves. We know. We know it's not today that men need to discipline themselves. Women too, discipline yourself. Let everybody be disciplined. We are all called to discipline. Dear saints, you are not called to live a loose life. You are not of this world. You are not of this world. You are a city set on a hill. I cannot be hid. Praise God. Bow your heads and talk in tongues.